record locally on my computer. I hope you're all having a meaningful fast. First of all, I would like to thank Ellen Warner and Jeff Lipton for dedicating this program in memory of Frida Warner, Zichrona Livracha, Frida Bat Chaim Yehuda Leib, Bechaya Rosa, for her 12th year at site. And I would also like to thank my dear Chavruta of the past 2 years, Moish Goldstein, whom along with his wife Frances and their families are dedicating this year in memory of their father, Wolf Wozniacka, Rabbi Yitzchak Ze'ev ben Yehuda Tzvi Halevi Vifredo Zatzal, and in my honor as well. During the shiur, please feel free to unmute yourself and ask questions. If I'm unable to answer due to time constraints, I'll be sure to get back to you at a later time. And if you do send a question in the chat, I won't be able to address it during the shiur, but I'll be happy to answer it after. So my topic for today is fast of the firstborn, a fast that should not exist. So the fast of the firstborn is held on Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan. I would like to explore the origins of the fast, the reasons for it, and the custom nowadays of making or hearing the siyum to exempt one from fasting. So first of all, are there any firstborns in the crowd today? Okay, so I see some fingers. Okay, that's
good. Do
women
count?
Do women count? Absolutely. According to some opinions, women count as well. So it's good. So it's definitely applicable to you. But I'm sure it will be interesting for everyone as well. I'm personally not a firstborn, but I found myself fascinated by the topic. And according to some opinions, parents of a boy up to the age of 13 will also have to fast in that stead, and that should certainly apply to many more people. Okay, so I'm gonna share my source sheet. It's also available in the chat for those of you who would like to use it yourselves. Okay, so the first source for the fast of the firstborn is not from a Gemara. It actually comes from Masechet Sofrim. Masechet Sofrim is a compilation of Braitas from the time of the Tanaim. And many of my sources are not translated, but I'm going to translate it as I read along with it, although some of the main ones are. So in Masechet Sofrim, it says that the custom is not to fast at all during the days of Nisan, of the month of Nisan. And then when you come to the last line of the whole explanation of why we don't fast during Nisan, it says, Ela habichor chemitanin be'erev ha-Pesach. The only exception is the firstborn that fast on Erev Pesach. That's all is said regarding the fast. And this is the original source. A second possible source is brought to us from the Jerusalem Talmud. So we know there's the Babylonian one and there was the Jerusalem one. And this one is from the Jerusalem one. And the story in the Jerusalem Talmud is brought in both sources 2 and 3 by the Rosh and the Chidah in his commentary Birkei Yosef, but I'll just explain it apart from the Hebrew. What the Gemara says is that Rebbe wouldn't eat either chametz or matzah on Erev Pesach. Now, we know we're not supposed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach, but we're told that he wouldn't eat chametz either, and this is, of course, even before the prohibition of eating chametz of midday. And the Gemara asks, why wouldn't he eat on Erev Pesach? And the Gemara answers, possibly because he was a firstborn. However, then the Gemara raises a difficulty and says, well, also Rav Yonah was a firstborn, and he wouldn't fast on Erev Pesach. So the Gemara then resolves the practice of Rebbe and says, the reason Rebbe didn't eat on Erev Pesach is because he was an istenis. He was someone who had a very small appetite. And if he would eat during the day, he wouldn't have an appetite for the Seder, and he wouldn't be able to properly fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah at Leila Seder. Because of that, he didn't eat. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. Now, the Rosh, in his commentary on Masechet Psachim, brings the source of the Jerusalem Gemara as proof as to why the firstborn fast. Now, again, the initial assumption of the Gemara was that Rebbe fasted because he was a firstborn. However, the Gemara then concluded by saying that wasn't the reason. It's because he was an Istanis, he had a small appetite. But even though that's the conclusion of the Gemara, the Rosh still brings it as a proof in source number two. He writes, "Umikan yesh sa'ad." We have a proof. Lemasha na'agu ha-bechorot leitanot be'erev ha-pesach. To what the firstborn, the custom of the firstborn to fast on Erev Pesach. And he also quotes the Masechet Sofrim. So he brings both reasons. So the Chida in his commentary, Birke Yosef, is bothered by this. Because he's reading the same Gemara I just explained to you, and he's raising a difficulty on the Rosh. He's saying, how is the Rosh relying on the Yerushalmi Gemara as proof for the fast? The reason the Gemara gives for Rebbe fasting was because he had a small appetite. That was the conclusion of the Gemara. The initial assumption was maybe because he was a firstborn, but the Gemara then ended up diverging from that assumption and saying that's not the reason. So he tries to resolve this apparent contradiction, this difficulty in the Rosh, by explaining that even though the Gemara rejected that proof, it still serves as a proof that it was a possible answer. And he writes, "Misham muchach." From there, we see deyesh minagze ba'olam shabechorot mitanim. We see that this custom existed that the firstborn would fast. So even though the Gemara rejected the reason as to why Rebbe specifically would fast, we still see that this fast existed, but it wasn't held by everyone. He writes, "En haminag pashut v'shavel lakol." It wasn't simple. It wasn't accepted by everyone. Aval yesh bechorot mitanim, but there are those who fast. Ela she'eno minag pashut. It's not a simple. It's not an obvious custom. So here we see the origins of the fast of the firstborn. Again, there's no basis in the Babylonian Gemara, no basis in any of the Tanakh. The first source is from Masechet Sofrim, and the second one is in the Jerusalem Gemara. However, it's not the simple read of the Gemara there, where the Rosh is only one of few who quotes it as a source. And because it's not the easy read of the Gemara, the Tor, son of the Rosh, omits that source as the origin for the fast. So in source number four, he writes, "Garsinan b'Masechet Sofrim." We see in Masechet Sofrim, which is source number one, "Habichoret mitanin be'erev Pesach." The firstborn fast on Erev Pesach. And he omits the second source from the Jerusalem Talmud that his father, the Rosh, brought. Again, because it was only the initial assumption of the Gemara, not the conclusion, and therefore possibly not a source at all. And he gives a reason as well. He says, "V'hatam zecher lanes shenitzolu mimakad bechorot." The reason for the fast, one, and the reason was not mentioned in any of the source, previous sources, the reason is due to the miracle, shenitzolu mimakad bechorot, the miracle that the firstborn were saved from the plague of the firstborn in Egypt. The katava via Isri, and he quotes his father, "Shegam bichor le'ab yesh lo leitanot kmo shaita makah gam ba'em." That's gam ba'em. That normally in Judaism, we, for example, in pidyon haben, in redeeming the firstborn son, we say that only applies to the firstborn from the mother. However, when it comes to the fasting of the firstborn on Erev Pesach, that would apply to both a firstborn from the mother and a firstborn from the father, and that's because they were all under the threat of the plague in Egypt, and they were all saved. So a way to understand the tour here is to explain that the Zecher Lanes, when he says that it's to commemorate the miracle, that it's similar to Pirsum Hanes, to publicizing miracle. And we can draw a comparison from Tanit Esther and Purim, because according to some opinions, Tanit Esther is a part of Purim, and in order to complete the entire process and celebration of Purim, we first need to acknowledge that we were at a time of great danger. We were a time of Etz Tzara. And then ultimately we were saved by it. So it's two halves that form a whole that complete the mitzvah of publicizing the miracle of Purim. And so too with the fast of the firstborn. First, we commemorate the firstborn commemorate the danger that they were in by fasting, and only first by recognizing the great danger that we're in, then they complete the mitzvah and publicizing the Zecher L'Nes through the mitzvah of the Seder and their ultimate salvation. And that's what it's possible, that's what the Torah means with Zecher L'Nes. Another possible reason for it is brought in the Sefer Ratzka Tzvi by Rabbi Tzvi Reisman. This was an incredible piece by him. I translated as well, although it isn't a word for word translation, so please don't hold me too closely to it. However, he compiles several sources together, bringing different opinions and questions and answers and difficulties regarding this entire topic, and it was really unbelievable. This source, and I also bring him again later on, is really the highlight of this year for myself. So first, he raises some difficulties on the practice of the fast of the firstborn. So let's ask some questions about it. So first of all, the first question he asks is from the Sefer Be'er Yosef. And he asks, why is the fast of the firstborn only on the firstborn? What does that mean? So if we're commemorating the salvation of the firstborn, it's not necessarily the case that today's firstborn are the direct descendants of the firstborn who were saved at Egypt. Maybe they're descendants of the second child or the third child, and also vice versa. It's possible that someone who isn't a firstborn today, like myself, is a direct descendant of someone who was a firstborn at the time of Egypt and was saved from the plague, and therefore should fast, meaning there's no direct correlation between someone who is a firstborn today and someone who was a firstborn at the time of Egypt. So how come only today's firstborn fast? That's the first question he raises. The second question he raises is from Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank, who was the chief rabbi of Jerusalem in the 19th of 20th century and 20th centuries. And he asks, normally, when a miracle occurs, if the reason is Zecher L'Nes, to remember the miracle, if someone has a personal miracle, how would you normally go about to commemorate it and to remember it year after year? You would celebrate it with a feast. And that's even what you're supposed to do today. If your life is saved in a miraculous event, and you would normally commemorate it by throwing a kiddush, by making a dedication to something. Not through fasting, it would be through rejoicing. So he's asking, in the name of the Zichron of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who quotes the Zichron Yehuda, who we'll discuss more in a moment, why is it that to commemorate saving the firstborn at the time of Egypt, we do that through fasting? If we're commemorating a miracle, we should do it through a day of feasting. Like the common Jewish mantra of, you know, they tried to kill us, we survived, let's eat, let's celebrate. And there's a third question that he gets to later on, is if the miracle occurred on the night of the 15th, when we left Egypt, when the plague occurred, the plague of the firstborn, how come the fast is on the day during the 14th? Maybe we should try to come up with something that would be on the same day. So, okay, you can't fast on Yom Tov, but maybe you can do something else like feast. Why is it that we bring it forward to the 14th? So he brings an incredible answer by the Zichron Yehuda. The Zichron Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Grunwald, was the rabbi of Satmar from the 19th and 20th centuries. And the answer that he gives is remarkable. If any of you have heard it before, that's incredible. That's amazing. It was new to me. And it was really, this is really the highlight. This is the top answer for the top source for this year. And he quotes the Zichron Yehuda. And the Zichron Yehuda says, this is the second paragraph of source 5, and you're welcome to read it inside. The Zichron Yehuda says that the main reason for the fast is to commemorate the fast the firstborn fasted on Erev Pesach in Egypt. That it stands to reason that when Moshe said to Bnei Israel, don't leave your front door until morning, lock your doors, put the blood on the post. When he told them that, it stands to reason that the firstborn fasted in order to merit being saved. In addition to putting the blood on the post, they've also fasted to increase their merits. There is no previous source for it. He's the first one to suggest it, but it's incredible. He's saying that there was a fast back then, and that is why we fast nowadays. And similar to Tanit Esther, he draws the parallel to Purim, that just like during Tanit Esther, the reason we fast is because they fasted at that time. All the Jews all the Jews at the time that Mordechai and Esther gathered them to fast. So just like the Tor, who we saw in source number 4, writes over there that the reason that they gathered to pray for their lives is the reason that we fast nowadays. So too, when the Tor writes Zecher Lanes, he means not the miracle of being saved, but the memory of the fast of the firstborn of those days that they fasted. And this remarkable answer by the Zichron Yehuda answers all the questions we brought beforehand. So first of all, we asked, why is it that today's firstborn fast if they're not necessarily the direct descendants of the firstborn of those days? And the answer now is clear. And this is reading right over here, because the fast is to commemorate the fast that only the firstborn fasted in Egypt. It's clear why only the firstborn fast, even though they're not necessarily the descendants of those firstborn who were spared from the plague, because the fast isn't to remember them being spared. It's not to remember the salvation, rather to remember their fast. And if so, just like when the firstborn fasted, so too today, to remember that fast, only the firstborn fast. That answers question number one, why only today's firstborn fast? The second question was, why do we commemorate with a fast and not with a feast if we're celebrating a miracle? The reason is because we're not celebrating the miracle. The reason the fast was created was to remember the fast of the firstborn. Therefore, it's appropriate that we also hold a fast to commemorate that. And the third question of why it's held on the 14th and not the 15th, aside from the fact that it's Yontif, explains Rav Frank, is because the fast of the firstborn took place the day before the plague occurred, which was on the 14th. So when the firstborn nowadays are supposed to fast on the 14th, that's the exact day that the firstborn fasted in Egypt. Now, all this is true if you accept the premise of the Zichron Yehuda that the firstborn indeed fasted in Egypt. Again, there are no sources other than his logic. He also quotes a pasuk and maybe possibly a midrash. However, through this premise and through his original thought, we can answer a lot of difficulties that arise regarding the reason for the fast of the firstborn. So in the Sefer, Rabbi Reisman brings other possible reasons for the fast, and we'll go through them as well. He says another way to explain why it is that we fast and don't celebrate with a feast is because we know that in the Gemara we're told that someone who has a miracle occur for them has their merits deducted. And it's because the firstborn, at the time of Egypt had their merits deducted, that the firstborn nowadays fast in order to try and balance out their merits. Again, this answer doesn't answer some of the other questions as to why it's only the first nowadays firstborn. However, it answers the question of why we fast and don't throw a feast. Another answer that he gives, another reason that he gives for the fast that he quotes is from Rav Moshe Fanning, who quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And he explains, this is in the last paragraph here in source number 5, that this has to do with the sin of the golden calf. Because until the sin of the golden calf, it was the job of the firstborn to offer the sacrifices in the Mishkan. And it was after they were saved from the plague of the firstborn, they were sanctified to now do the work. Now they were the ones to offer the korbanot. However, after the sin of the golden calf, that honor, that right was taken away from them and given to the Kohanim. And therefore, on Erev Pesach, when everyone is bringing the Korban Pesach, they have to stand on the side and watch the Kohanim do the job that was originally theirs. And he writes, if so, what great insult and pain the firstborn had on Erev Pesach when they couldn't be the ones to sacrifice the Korban Pesach, rather the Kohanim, because the right was taken from them. Therefore, due to their anguish, the firstborn couldn't eat on that day. Meaning the fast of the firstborn is to remember the pain of the firstborn who was supposed to work the avodah of Ol Moed in the merit of being saved from Egypt. But since they sinned with the calf, they lost that right. And in their anguish, the firstborn fasted. And so too, we fast today to remember the sin of the calf and the avodah that was taken from the firstborn because of it. That the reason is because of the sin of the golden calf, and we fast, the firstborn fast to remember the pain of having lost the right to bring the sacrifices themselves, and instead it was given to the Kohanim. So just to sum up some of the reasons we've seen before we get to the current customs and what we do nowadays. Some of the reasons we've seen is, first of all, the Tor, who writes that it's Zecher Lanes Shenitzolu HaBechorot, it's to commemorate, to remember the miracle that the firstborn were saved. And this can be understood as sort of completing the whole process of first remember what great danger we were in, and then how ultimately the firstborn were saved. A second remarkable reason is brought by the Zichron Yehuda, who explains that it's to remember the fast of the firstborn who fasted in Egypt in order to add to their merit and to be saved, in addition to the promise of being saved, but they also wanted to add with their own zchuyot, with their own merits. And that also answers several difficulties regarding the fast of the firstborn. And a third possible answer is that it's to remember the sin of the golden calf and the pain that the firstborn suffer having to watch the Kohanim do their job with the Korban Pesach. So now we come to the current customs and what we actually do nowadays. So first of all, we have the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch says, HaBechoret mit'anin be'erev Pesach, the firstborn fast on Erev Pesach, bein bechor me'av, bein bechor me'em, either the fast from a father, the firstborn of a father or of a mother. Ve'yesh mi she'omer she'afilu nekeva bechor mitana. And there are those who say that even a firstborn female is supposed to fast. And the Rama adds, ve'ein haminad ken, although that is not the practice that we do, although I do know of some women who do choose to do a siyum on Erev Pesach, even though they're not obligated to fast, they still take the opportunity to make the siyum. And the Rama also adds, I mentioned at the beginning that sometimes parents have to fast in the stead of their children before they reach the age of 13, and that's what the Rama says, that no again, ksha'av bechor, when if the father is a firstborn, ha'em mitanat tachat bna, the mother needs to fast instead of her son. This is another source that women sometimes do have to fast, b'nah habechor, her firstborn son, k'sha'adayin katan, when he's still under the age of 13, ve'im eina habechor, but if the father isn't a firstborn, hu mitane ba'ad b'no ad she'igdal, and he fasts instead of his son. And the reason is because also the firstborn children were also under the threat of death in Egypt. So therefore, a child under the age of 13 who isn't chayv in mitzvot, his parents need to fast in his stead, whether his father or if the father is the firstborn, we still need to have someone else fast in his stead, and therefore the mother would do it. Now, the Mishnah Berura finally gives us the source, really the explanation of the custom we have nowadays. Like I mentioned several times, and as many of you may know, not many firstborn really fast on Erev Pesach. The prevalent custom is to make a siyum either on Gemara, on Mishnah, on even a Sefer and Tanakh, and some attend a siyum, and that is enough of a reason to eat. So how come? So far we've seen some of the origins, which was the Masechet Sofrim and possibly the Jerusalem Talmud. And we also saw some reasons, but why is it that we should be lenient? So says the Mishnah Berura, regarding Le'inyanim Mutarim HaBechorim Le'chol B'Seudat Mitzvah, Talui Ben Minyag HaMekomot, it depends on the custom whether they're allowed to eat or not. Yesh Mekomot She'Nagu Le'achmir, there are places that were stringent. Ve'yesh Mekomot She'Nagu HaBechorim Le'hakel, and there are places that they were lenient. Ve'chen Nohagim Ke'hayom, and that's what we practice today. Be'kama Mekomot Be'midanotenu in our countries. Lehakel velechol af besudat siyum masechet, to be lenient and to eat even at a meal, where we finish a masechet, a tractate of Gemara or Mishnah, like I said. And he adds, even if the bechorim themselves, the firstborn themselves, weren't the ones fasting, in any case, they can join together, they can hear the siyum, and they can be allowed to eat. But why is it? Why is it that we're so lenient? We don't normally promote making a siyum in order to avoid fasting. We usually say, you know, make the siyum on a different day. For example, during the 9 days, you're not really supposed to make a siyum to eat meat unless it exactly falls out. Then you're supposed to observe. You're supposed to observe the prohibitions. So the Aruch HaShulchan suggests a few reasons, and he writes in source number 9. It's a few generations already that were completely lenient with the fast of the firstborn. Through the siyum of a masechet, not just the person who learned, but also the firstborn who only listen it. It's spread to all the countries. And I don't know from where they can be so lenient. And then he offers his idea. He says it's because it's a weak generation. There's a lot of work, there's a lot of effort that goes into preparing Pesach, especially Erev Pesach, preparing the Seder. There's hustle and bustle. And fasting on Erev Pesach might take away from the possibility of performing the mitzvahs of the Seder properly. And because we're a weak generation, we have these leniencies. And he adds a second reason, and this is maybe the more main one, is because it's not mentioned in the Gemara. Like we saw before, there's no mention in the Torah, there's no mention in the Babylonian Gemara. There's a possible mention in the Jerusalem Gemara. However, it's not a very strong source. Like he says, Gambi Yerushalmi Hamaskana, the conclusion is that they don't have to fast. It's only a custom according to Masechet Sofrim. The fast of the firstborn is the only fast that we have that is a custom that does not originate from the Gemara. And that is why we don't protest it. So that is just the reality we have nowadays. So I'll just have to speed up a bit because, again, I'm getting to the Ratz Katzvi, Rav Tzvi Reisman, who, again, brings some incredible sources to help frame this entire discussion. and he quotes a remarkable idea from the Admor of Zidichov, Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch of Zidichov. And he says, it's a Hasidic Rebbe from the 18th and 19th century. And this Admor says that there's a mistake in Masechet Sofrim, that when in Masechet Sofrim it says that Minag HaBechorim Lehit Anot, that HaBechorot Mit Anin, there's a letter missing, and it's really HaBechorot Mit Angim. There's a gimel missing, and instead of saying that the firstborn fast, it means that the firstborn need to rejoice. They need to celebrate. And this is because he was bothered, how can we commemorate a miracle of Zecher Lanes through a fast? It must be through a feast. However, it's worth noting that this opinion is rejected by most commentaries and called and regarded as absolute nonsense. However, there are those who rely on it as an additional reason to be lenient. Another remarkable approach, and this is, again, another amazing idea from Rav Reisman, who quotes the Dvar Yehoshua was Rabbi Yehoshua Menachem Ehrenberg, who was a 20th century posek. And he explains that making a siyum nowadays isn't because we want to avoid fasting. It's not to permit eating, but rather it's replaced it. It's a different way of commemorating it. And therefore it's more of a lekatchila, meaning maybe it originated the custom as needing to fast. However, it's been replaced with making a siyum and making a celebration and making the day into a yom tov, into a day of rejoicing. And this incredible approach, this revolutionary approach by the Dvar Yehoshua, which you can see here, where he writes, a Yom Tov whose whole essence is to publicize the miracle of the salvation of the firstborn. And framing the fast in that fashion is a source for leniencies for many practices nowadays, such as Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who says that you can even listen to the fast on the phone, even if you're not attending in person. The reason is because you're still part of the Yom Tov, you're still part of the celebration. Another possible leniency is to eat before you even hear the fast, because if the whole day is a day of rejoicing, therefore you should be allowed to eat even beforehand. And all these reasons really go to show how many leniencies are given to this fast and surrounding the siyum. And it's also framed by Rav Moshe Sternbach in source number 11, even though he's mainly stringent regarding the practices we should have, he does admit that the custom is to be extremely lenient. And the custom of being lenient actually is stronger than the custom of needing to fast. That the minhag nowadays is to be lenient in any way we can. And that's also why I framed the title as a fast that should not exist, is that we have all these leniencies to surround it. We have questionable origins, certainly not from the Gemara. We have so many leniencies surrounding it. We have so many different reasons given to it. And Rav Sternbach says the custom is to be lenient, and that's why we try and do so nowadays. And just to end with one last point from Rabbi Daniel Mann, who was asked regarding hearing the siyum on live stream due to restrictions and lockdowns in the past 2 years. Those who weren't able to attend a siyum in person, but rather had to hear it on Zoom. Of course, he's lenient based on all the reasons we've given, but he ends on a more positive note, and he says, remote participation in a siyum has more power than usual. While normally participation is abnormal, in this case, where it's the new temporary normal, and this is the way of honoring and sharing your personal simcha with others, feeling part of the simcha, which unites us at happy times, etc. And that's the message that I want to finish, that I want to leave with you today, that we can discuss for hours, and I would love to discuss for hours, the origins or the reasons or the leniencies regarding the fast, or whether or not they should be implemented, etc. But at the end of the day, the prevalent custom today is to make a siyum or attending one. And that's beautiful because it increases Torah learning, it spreads it to others, and it bonds people together. And that's also what we try to do here at the Beit Midrash by giving these shiurim for the community. And that's what I see really as the message of the fast of the firstborn and the siyum that the firstborn make nowadays is to increase the Torah in this world. And that is what will also hopefully bring the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you very much, Netanel. And beautiful sheer, beautiful closing idea.